right, so we're on our way now, leaving Tennessee, and we wanted to get through to Texas as soon as humanly possible, because Texas barbecue is some of the best barbecue in the world. But we had to go through another state, and that state was called Arkansas. So we wanted to stop by a place called Little Rock, where one of our buddies, a guy called Rich Cosgrove, runs a place called Whole Hog.
The interesting thing about Rich is that Whole Hog is actually a franchise, and most of these places that we talk about have been set up by, you know, the grandparents of this, that, and the other one, or that they've set it up. But, you know, the passion that he has for barbecue and the knowledge that he's got and the attention to detail is just the same as any of the other people that have set their own places up. And, you know, it's amazing to see, really. And he kind of was a little bit inspired by us. We were a little bit inspired by him. He's just a really cool guy and gave us loads of time out of his busy day. I think we were with him for a couple of hours.
We use dry pecan, cut to exact specifications, because we need to be able to calibrate how much wood we put on for each type of meat. But we use only pecan wood here. That's it.
Right.
I use a lot of different woods at home for fun and for flavors and play with.
But what were we saying about apple woods?
Apple's wonderful, wonderful wood. It's very
cherry?
Expensive, though. And cherry's also an excellent wood.
Yeah,
fantastic wood.
Yeah.
I'll throw, at 4 o'clock, I'll put 2 sticks of pecan wood on here, just for flavor only.
Yeah.
And then we close at 9. And so when our people leave at 10, they'll put one more stick on. That's it. And that's it. That's all we use for a whole smoker full of pork butts.
And you get the smoke ring that you need, and you get the, you know.
That's the thing. You know, I was an engineer in my previous life, and my motto is manic attention to detail. And when you cook as much meat as we do, as much meat as you do, you know, you have to be extremely consistent and, you know, manage everything tightly the way it works. So,
it's a simple system, isn't it?
Yeah, it's real simple. Yeah, you can see the holes up there. That's where the smoke goes. I mean, the smoke's just for flavor. It's a thermostatically controlled. I mean, the key, as you know, I mean, the key to good barbecue, whether it's at home or whether it's commercially, especially commercially, is temperature control.
Yeah.
And you know, you these things are 2 inches thick with steel wool insulation, and
so when it's sunny and when it's cold, you don't notice any differences. That's impressive.
The reason we have this tarp up is they are susceptible to, if it's this really strong wind and rain, it can put a burner out.
Oh, of course it can. Yeah.
You know, so
that makes sense.
You know, but generally, I mean, the fact these things have been here for 7 years, had no serious trouble out of them at all. It's amazing.
When we got ours delivered to the restaurant, to the first one that we did, we were 900 millimeters deep by about 40 millimeters too wide, and we had 2 gaps that we were putting them in, and we had to redesign the whole kitchen. And he was about to go on his honeymoon to Bali, and I was with Clint dealing with the fit out.
Welcome to the restaurant business.
I rang him up and he went, dude, I said, I'm walking down the tarmac. He said, I'm getting onto the plane now, I'll ring you back in 2 minutes.
He said, what's up?
So he got sat down in his seat, clicked him, what's the problem? I said, the smokers have arrived and they're too big. I said, we can't fit them into the restaurant. And he went, I'm taking off on a 12-hour flight. I'll speak to you later. And I went, yeah, no worries. We can't get him through the door either. And he was like, put the
phone on. It was 12 hours of, it was like Chinese torture, man. It was like, am I ever going to open this restaurant? Have I just lost all that money?
Yeah.
And they did it.
So while we were there as well, Rich has got a fairly unique talent, and he's award-winning. And they actually have competitions for this. And there are people who travel the length and breadth of America to compete.
I've got a world championship in hog calling.
Yeah.
Hog. Hog calling. So Animal Planet found out about it. And they came and shot a pilot here.
Right.
And it was mostly entertainment.
Yeah.
But you had to be able to call a hog.
Right. Do that again. So it's...
When they showed up to shoot the thing, they were all crestfallen when they saw me instantly.
Right.
Because I wasn't what they expect.
Oh, right.
They were expecting
a hick.
Right. A real hick.
Yeah.
Buck tooth redneck.
And so it never made it out of pilot. Oh, I couldn't pull it off. Yeah. I told Nancy, shit, fire, I can pull this shit off. God damn, I just got you little tobacco. Beat it out, talk like this. Hell, put me a hat on. God damn, I can do this.
We'll be right back.
So we've spent a huge amount of time with Richard, a really good businessman and really passionate about barbecue as well. And of course, it was now to leave Arkansas behind and Little Rock, where the Whole Hog Barbecue place is, and head over to the mecca of barbecue, which is Texas. And first stop was going to be Dallas.
We pulled over in this little car park to get some gas, and some little dude came racing into the car park on his quad bike. So we called him over, and he came over, and we said, "Can I have a go on your quad bike?" And he said, "No." So I think, what did you give him, like
$20?
And I said, "If you let me have a go, I'll give you $20. Okay. I said, "Can you do donuts on here?" And he was like, "No, I don't do donuts. They're not powerful enough to do donuts." But I think the fact that he did a lot of donuts
right,
was the reason why his bike couldn't do donuts. So I got on and proceeded to just like donut the fuck out of his quad. Yeah, it was good fun.
All we normally do, drink, eat barbecue.
That sounds like an awesome life. I want to do that. Do you know what we do in the UK? We eat fish and chips, we get drunk, and we get wet on by the clouds. We get fucking this rain every day. Well, James is going to have a little go now. This is just fucking love shit about this, man. It's a 350 as well.
Yeah.
So it's a decent size engine.
Yep. If it'll get started, y'all can take it.
Oh, really?
So I had some trouble over there.
No, I didn't notice it. Didn't notice, man.
Oh, shit. Oh.
Oh, goddamn. It's fucking broke.
It's massive.
Oh, man, you're massive.
This is not good. This is not good. How did that happen?
I'm so strong. I don't know my own power.
You're like a pale hunk. A hulk, I mean. Not hunk. Beautiful.
Towards the end of that day, I think that was the day that we'd eaten more barbecue on the trip than at any other point. And we ended up getting told that there's a really cool little place called Neyman's. It worked out with an old mechanics. So when we got there, they were actually fitting that bit out. But what they had was like this little food truck. So we ordered whatever they had left. The food was really cool. We were just a bit meated out, but you know, you still got to finish it. So before getting to Texas, we wanted to hook up with a guy called Daniel Vaughan, who we think is the only person in the world to officially be called a barbecue editor. And he deals with anything and everything barbecue for Texas Monthly. So we agreed to meet up with Daniel at a place in Deep Ellum, and it was the farmer's market, and that's also where Pecan Lodge was, and there was like a million people queuing up to get barbecue in there, so that was pretty cool.
Well, I stood stone-like at midnight, suspended in my masquerade, and I combed my hair till it was just right, and commanded the night brigade. I was open to pain and my sails were set wing to wing. I had a jukebox graduate for first mate. She couldn't sail, but she sure could sing. And I pushed B-52 to and bombed them with the blues. With my gear set stubborn on standing, I broke all the rules, straight my old high school. Vacations in the stratosphere, and you know it's really hard to hold your breath Swear I lost everything I ever loved to fear. I was a cosmic kid in full costume dress. But my feet, they finally took root in the air. But I got me a nice little place in the stars. And I swear I found the key to the universe. In the engine of an old parked car. I hid in the mud, the breast of the crab. When they said pull down, I pulled up. Ooh, rolling up. Ooh, rolling up.
We're currently south of Dallas downtown, heading to Pecan Lodge. There's a pitmaster called Justin, who we've checked out on YouTube a few times, actually. He's really good at doing brisket and stuff, so we want to go down here. And we're in Texas, so we want to try the brisket, because apparently the best brisket in the world is exactly where we are now.
And what's going on with these two queues?
There's a queue, which is for the general public. I think maybe when you're ordering for maybe ones and twos and threes. But then there's a second one, which is an express queue, which is when you order more than £5 of meat at any one time. So,
and which one are we going to?
I suspect it'll be the more than £5 of meat at any one time. knowing the way that we've been eating so far, I don't think we're going to have any issues with a queue in this one here.
So at Pecan Lodge, this is where we met Diane. She's the co-owner with her husband, Justin. And she told us a little bit about how they keep the queuing system there fair. And she also introduced us to something called the hot mess, which is pretty awesome.
We have to keep track of how much barbecue and how far it's going to go, because we run out every day. So we will estimate it, and then we'll count the number of people in line and identify the person that we believe will be the cutoff point. And then we ask them to wear a sign around their neck, front and back, in exchange for a free lunch. And their sign says, I can show it to you, it says, it's called the Slim Pickens sign. And it says, hello, it's like one of those name tags, hello, my name is Slim Pickens. And it says, barbecue provisions are low. Consider ordering the fried chicken, right, you know, yeah, like if you're behind me. Just to kind of, and their job is to let everyone behind them know that probably by the time you get there, the barbecue may be gone, but there are other things, you know. And actually, it's been great because that's the way a lot of times people end up trying the fried chicken is because of the, you know, they know us by the barbecue, and so then they'll eat the fried chicken. We also have another thing, the hot mess, which is it's like a giant sweet potato. And it has like it has barbacoa and chipotle cream. Barbacoa is just a different way of making the brisket. Actually, ours is more like a gringo barbacoa, because true barbacoa is from the cheek. Ours is a regular brisket, but it's prepared differently. So it's not smoked. It's cooked in an oven and it's braised, and it has like a lot of Mexican, you know, seasonings that go in that. So it's a different flavor.
Nice.
But we put that in it, and it has chipotle cream and crumbled bacon and cheese and chives. It's very good. And it's a huge, huge, huge sweet potato. And so we like slit it open with a knife and open it up. Yeah. It's like a jacket sweet potato. They're huge. Wow. We have lots of vegetarians that order it without barbacoa, and a lot of people love it for that reason.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
We met up with Justin as well, and he is Diane's husband. They're both the owners of Pecan Lodge, and he gives a little one-on-one with his smokers. So he took us in the back and showed us how it all works.
We can do about 40 racks of ribs. So 40 briskets, 40 racks of ribs.
Yeah.
About 250 links of sausage.
Yeah.
That's kind of our standard.
Every corner you can find.
Every little exactly.
Pork butts.
Pork butts. Yeah, we'll do about 8 pork butts, and then we do the beef ribs too. In the morning, they were sold out. So the guy came in and bought all the rest of the beef ribs.
Well, he's just
I know. Because Daniel, it was only like 11:30.
Right.
And I was like, somebody, they just came in. They bought 5 racks. We only do about 10 racks a day.
Yeah, right.
Because we sell more of the pork ribs on the plates and stuff like that, so we try to keep the mix right. But
yeah, right.
Cut and eyes that burn.
facility and picking up slack. I want a girl with a short skirt and a long jacket.
Dallas has great barbecue. It also has great beer. And we were recommended by both Justin at Pecan Lodge and also Daniel Vaughan to pop along to a local brewery called the Four Corners. And when we got there, we parked up the RV and walked into the brewery. Lauren was the lady who showed us around, and we tasted some freaking amazing beers.
These are our selections at the moment. Local Buzz is our Honey Rye Golden Ale, our flagship, very light, crisp, refreshing. El Super B de Saison is our summer seasonal. It is a dry hop saison. It's basically the rowdy uncle of the Local Buzz. We put two times more locally sourced honey in it and then dry hop it. So it's really refreshing as well, super bubbly. El Chingon is our IPA. It does really well for us. The Block Party is our English-style robust porter. It's darker, really light-bodied, a pretty significant hop component to it. We're about 40 IBUs, which is very high for a dark beer, but you just get very well-balanced.
So how long have you been here?
We've been open, we've been in-house about 3 years, and we did our first kegs in November of 2012.
Right.
George and Steve are two of the owners. They met a long time ago. They've been in a band together for a long time, and they were both home brewers, and they met that way, through the band and drinking beer and talking about beer.
It's a good way to start. Good way to start business, right?
Third owner, whose name is Greg, there's a homebrew competition called Brew Riot that happens in Dallas, and they both entered on separate teams. They both won. One of them won Judge's Choice, and one of them won People's Choice. And the prize was one beer a day for a year at this place around the corner from here. But one beer for 8 people. So they met because they kept racing and running into each other trying to get that one beer.
Right. Oh, I see.
They're talking about the craft beer culture in Dallas.
So there was one beer available, but it was around 8 people. And
yes,
so whoever got there first was
there. Yeah, whenever it opened. Yeah.
That is the coolest
it's
prize.
It's a really good prize, isn't it?
And that's how they met, and so then they would just sit and talk about beer and drink beer. And
They were all
home brewers, and they said, you know, that Dallas didn't really have, this was, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and Dallas didn't have a craft brew scene. We had Rahr in Fort Worth, and McKinney had Franconia, but that's, Franconia does German style. They didn't really have like a Texas style beer.
Yeah, yeah.
And we need one. It's different culture here than anywhere else in the United States.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I am not a natural born Texan. Don't tell anybody. I grew up in Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And I was in Atlanta before here. The saying is, I wasn't born here, but I got here as quick as I could.
Right, nice.
That's what they say.
That's good.
Don't
like
tell
that.
Anybody.
I like that one.
I have to say y'all a lot just to cover it up.
We're starting to write y'all in our blogs now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. It's catches the best on. Word ever.
It catches
it works
up.
For so many different instances.
It does.
I know.
Do people ever find that your beers taste different on draft than they are in a can?
No, we say it. But I think it's just because we're hypersensitive to it. We're tasting all the time. Yeah. I haven't had anybody who's actually purchased one of our beers say, I think it tastes different in a can than it does on draft.
Is that right? Okay. Apparently, cans are they hold the beer better over time.
Yeah.
Better than bottles anyway, right?
They don't let light in to oxidize. They seal better. They don't break as easily.
Travel better.
They travel better.
They
they're better for the
better
environment.
Well.
They stack better. They're easier for transport. They're easier to recycle. Everything about them is better for beer.
And you can crush them at the end of it, right?
And you can crush them at the end of it.
Four Corners Brewery, and just by accident and getting lost, we came across a little place called the Famous Old Hickory House. after eating there, I don't know really what they're famous for. They might be just famous for like the worst barbecue in America, but it was pretty bad. And then we headed down the interstate and we spotted the sign for Rudy's, and that's what my little boy's called. So I thought, I'm going to stop there. But Scott had also heard about the place from someone he used to work with. And so it was pretty packed at Rudy's. And so rather than waiting for a table, we got a takeout and we took it back to the Winnebago, and we pretty much devoured the entire contents of the 30 takeaway bags that we walked out with.
Cool, what have we got here then? What, so ribs. These are, I've got baby backs and pork ribs.
I like the way they do the ribs with them, like the belly ribs, man.
Oh yeah, that's a brisket. Moist and flat. That's moist. And then what have we got here?
It's cool, isn't it? It's,
I like that. It's just simple.
Oh, I've got some turkey.
Oh yes, man.
That looks moist, doesn't it? We'll smash through this here.
Keeping you in sight.
So one of the other things that Daniel told us to do was that we should go down to this big barbecue competition that was happening. It must have been about 150, 200 competitors in this huge car park. The whole town had got involved. Everyone was down there. They had like the fire service, the police service, all putting in barbecue teams. And we met a dude called Moose, who was an actual professional eater. And he just eats for a living.
I do, anywhere from chicken wings to hot dogs to corn dogs, okay. You name it.
How many chicken wings did you eat the other week?
Well, for the qualifier for the Super Bowl, I ate 112 chicken wings. I was three shy of beating Eric Eric the Red.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he's ranked.
Was he quite a big dude?
He's a pretty
Because you're not really that big, right? So
no,
you must
no.
have like a really big tummy.
I have a high metabolism.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
okay.
I'm able to stuff a lot of food in my stomach. So whenever I know I'm going to do a certain competition, like in 2 weeks, I'm doing the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Qualifier.
Okay.
It's in Houston. So some of the other pros are going to be there. So I'm stepping up my game. The way I do that, I drink gallons of water.
Right. Stretch tummy.
Stretch out stomach.
Yeah.
Watermelon balls, lettuce.
Watermelon balls.
Stretches out your esophagus so when you eat it.
Now obviously, like, I know you got your normal job, but you do this. But is there like prize money? Is it kind of what what's the?
Unless you're ranked like one of the top 10, or if you're placing at some of these competitions, there really isn't any incentive, like in terms of financially, you know.
It's
but
fun and
it's bragging rights.
Right.
You know, being able to
basically.
Say, yeah.
And you've been judging here today, right?
Yeah, I was here judging today. Got to taste all the barbecue.
Any recommendations, like which kind of tend to go to today?
I would recommend grabbing a little bit of everything, or maybe sharing something and tasting everything.
Okay.
Each and every one has its unique flavors.
Right.
I also write about food competitions and stuff like that for the local area.
Which company signed you up?
It's Major League Eating. It's like the NFL, but for food eaters.
No way.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
And the company that owns Major League Eating, it's actually the same one. It's called the International Federation of Competitive Eating.
Wow.
So, yeah. Sounds all.
This really rolls off the tongue.
Whilst at Big D's barbecue battle, we discovered this wicked little dish called the Texas Fold'em, which is essentially a celebration of lots of different bits of barbecue, including brisket, and it's even got ribs and stuff in there as well. And it's all laid down onto just a really simple piece of white bread. And you fold it up and you stuff it in your mouth.
And then joy ensues.
Get a little bit of slaw. That's your base. Then you get a little beans or no beans?
Beans.
Yeah, beans,
yeah.
Baby. Any fritos?
Everything.
Everything, the works, eh? This is the most incredible brisket here tonight, okay? And then to top it off, we get a rib. Do you want the sauce? First thing you do is eat your rib. When you're done with the rib, you toss the bone, you fold the bread around the rest of it, and that's how you eat a Texas Fold'em.
Brilliant.
Ribs are amazing.
For us, you know, a few of the highlights definitely were the Pecan Lodge meeting with Justin and Diane. And we wanted to head down to Austin knowing full well that the Texas barbecue that we'd already had was phenomenal. And we knew that it was going to be getting better. So we're super excited at this point in time.
Another one of the highlights is that we didn't kill anyone and we'd eaten loads of nice food. No one had died. That's always good when you're on one of these trips.
A little bit of me died inside when we did 5 barbecue meals in one day.
It reminds us of being back on the Winnebago, though, because
it's actually called the Windybago.
The Windybago.
How many guys were there? 7? You can imagine the levels of wind that we had to endure. It was quite phenomenal.